Hi guys, and welcome to Road to Forex, where we discuss everything in relation to the foreign exchange. Of course, I am your host Alex. Without further ado, let's get stuck into today's episode. If you want success in the markets whilst working full time, you've got to start doing what we are going to discuss within this episode. Because balancing a full-time job with Forex is something that I have already done and did for quite a long period of time. It was challenging, but it was not impossible. And I implemented a few tips and tricks over the years that just made it that little bit easier. And as it got easier, my profits got larger and I was able to go from a full-time job to part-time to casual and so on and so forth. So it doesn't matter if you're an aspiring trader, you're experienced, whatever it is, efficient time management is key to making most of your trading opportunities. So before we jump into this episode, giving you all these golden nuggets here, remember to join our free Discord. Check out my YouTube channel, Road to Forex. And of course, if you want one-on-one mentorship with me, roadtoforex.com. So, the first thing that I want to go over here is using multiple time frames. So, when we are working our 9-to-5 jobs, what most people will do is go and look at the 4-hour, or the daily, or the weekly, or whatever it is. That's where most people go to, and I completely understand why. It's what we're told on YouTube by people that don't know better. And it also just makes sense as a beginner trader when you hop into the market. Oh, I can't look at my phone from the hours of 9-to-5. Oh, I can't do these things. Cool. I understand that. However, you're missing out on a key trick here. So say you have a strategy, right? You've backtested it. You know what time frames that it works on. For example, let's take mine. The 30 minutes, the 1 hour, the 2 hour, and the 4 hour. All of these work fantastic, right? And what I say to my mentorees, and this is a big, big golden nugget here, is go down to a time frame that you don't think you'll be able to use. For example, that might be the 3 hour time frame for you, or the 2 hour time frame, whatever it is that you've backtested it on. And I will go to all of my mentorees and I'll say, okay, you can't trade from 9-to-5, that's perfect. But can you, once you finish at the office, sit there for 10 minutes? Work's done, you're finished, you're off the clock. Can you sit there for 10 minutes on your laptop? Is that something that you can do? The answer is yes, which I'm sure most of you can, or you can bring your laptop or do whatever it is, right? You will be able to pull your charts up and look at what has happened on that 2 hour time frame, that 1 hour time frame, that 3 hour time frame. Maybe some of the pairs that you have been looking at, yeah, they've alerted during the day, but maybe they haven't moved. Maybe they're still at your entry. Even better, maybe they've actually gone into your stop loss a little bit from perfect entry. And this happens quite often. Not all trades just take off and go in the exact direction that you want it to, right? So what you're basically saying here is, oh, because I can't look at it when it happens, I won't hop in. Why? Why do that to yourself? If it is at basically your normal entry, your perfect entry at the time that you would have hopped in, if it's slightly in drawdown, fantastic, or maybe it's just a tiny bit above your entry, hop in. That's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. All you need to do is this. Make sure that when you are looking at your backtesting results, let's say AUD/USD, right? We've been trading, fantastic. We've had that AUD/USD alert popped off on our strategy. It says buy or sell, it doesn't matter. And it happened at 12 p.m. It's 5 p.m. now and it's slightly in drawdown from where I originally would have entered. Now, your stop loss is actually going to be smaller. And you can target even more. That's great. Maybe it's a little bit above your entry and you're going to get a little bit less. Sure, that's something that can happen. But if you haven't missed out on the trade, you can enter it. All you need to do with the trades that you have missed, maybe it's already gone up way too high and you can't hop into it. Maybe it's actually hit your stop loss. Whatever's happened, if you've missed a winner, you know on average how many trades you get per year through your backtesting. I have that knowledge with my own pairs, and I'll go, okay, I'm going to trade on average 12 times per year on AUD/USD. I've got a 60% win rate. I've missed out on a winner. What happens? Well, then that becomes a 58%, 56%, 55%, whatever it is, percent win ratio. And I go, oh, okay, well, maybe if it drops below 55, I won't hop in. But what if you miss out on a loser? What happens to your win ratio then, or your percentage, right? You look at it and you go, well, it's not 60% anymore. It's 65, it's 66. And then you can capitalize on these things here. Maybe on average, you do hop into some trades that, you know, your stop loss is a little bit tighter. Therefore, you gain more. And you'll also hop in a little bit later. Maybe it'll even out. Maybe it won't. But it should be around a consistent point, right? That's all you really have to be looking at. It should even itself out to a certain extent. But what most people do is go, oh, well, I can't do that. I have to trade in the 4 hours so I can be there every single time it goes off. Fantastic. There's no need for that. You really do not need to do that in any way, shape, or form. If you've missed out on a trade because your where you would have hopped in at the time was perfect, but it's gone up too far, damn, record it. Make sure you look at your win rate and you go, it's lower now and that's still an acceptable area. If you've missed a loser, fantastic. Wait for it to come through the next time. You can definitely sustain yourself on this. And if it does get too low and you've missed out on two or three winners, cool. You can keep on tracking it. You can say, hey, I'm not going to hop in now because it's too low. But if the next couple of, I don't know, trades come through a losers, for example, and it comes back up to that 60% win ratio, hop in again. I have pairs that will drop in and out throughout the year. I still trade New York. New York starts at my midnight and it ends roughly around my 5 a.m. Do I just say to the markets, oh, I'm never going to hop in? No, I lower the risk percentage that I'm putting on it. I'm always looking at the trades that I miss during the night. And in some cases, I can wake up and I've got fantastic entries. Fantastic entry. I can remember this one time, and this is very rare, but it was within, I think, 8 pips of my stop loss. So I had a stop loss that's 8 pips, right? Because I've got rules for where my stop losses need to go. And I followed the rules still. And it turned around and it went up and up and up and up and up. Now my stop loss, should I have hopped in during the night, I would have had a 20 pip stop loss. That's absolutely fine for my strategy, 20 pip. I had an 8 pip. And because my back testing says you need to go from a 1 to 2, and I've always back tested from what? A perfect entry when all my rules align and they say you should enter here, that's how you back test. But because it had gone all the way down, and I hopped in and went, still, it's a valid trade. It hasn't hit my stop loss yet. And it went all the way up to where my perfect entry 1 to 2 would have been. I got, instead of a 1 to 2, a 1 to 4, a 1 to 5, whatever it is. And it actually went up and went to original 1 to 3. So I got 7 or 8% off of one trade. Off of one trade. And I looked at that and I went, well, technically, I could not trade this pair for the rest of the year now. This is fantastic. And that's what you need to be thinking about should you be working full-time. Do not commit yourself to the 4-hour, the weekly, the daily. You don't need to do it. All you need to do, guys, is have a strategy that's properly back-tested. If you've got that, you can work your way around it. You just need to be on top of it. And always before you get up, even if it's 10 minutes earlier, 20 minutes earlier, before you start your normal working day, you get up at 7, you have your breakfast, you have your shower, you walk out the door, whatever it is. Now you're getting up at 6:45, and you're checking the charts, and you look at all the alerts that happened overnight, or while you're at work, or whatever it is, and you can go, oh, okay, I can do this. Now, you might have tripled even quadrupled the amount of trades that you've hopped in, which means that your profits are going to be higher, and you're still journaling and tracking everything. So you're managing your win percent for all of these pairs that you're trading on all of these time frames. And guess what? You're way closer to a full-time trader. Now, it's not going to take you 3, 4, 5 years longer than the average person that can devote themselves full-time. In fact, it's only going to take you maybe twice as long as someone that can devote themselves full time. I mean, wow. I don't think anyone's out there saying this stuff, guys. That's absolutely huge. So that it realistically, I could end the episode there. Say, hey, that's it. That is all we need to talk about through here. But I will continue. Now, your journaling is going to be slightly different. And I know I talk about this a lot, but bear with me here. Because in that story that I just talked about, where I got like a 1 to 7, 1 to 8, whatever it was, I need to update that. And I need to say, I have outperformed the strategy by X amount. I have outperformed my strategy. Why is that? Because when you come to your results at the end of the year, in the end of the month, and you look at these things and you go, fantastic, this is really good, it's actually an outlier. These things are quite rare, and you don't want your outliers to affect your overall results at the end of the year. Could you imagine if I didn't put or highlighted in my journal, hey, perfect entry would have just netted me a 1 to 3. And in fact, all I have there was, oh, I've made my 1 to 8. So when I look at my total profit for the one for the end of the year, and I go, wow, I'm 8% up more this year than I am the next year or the year before that or whatever it is, I might risk a little bit more money. What I would be doing there is simply saying, no, I'm not. This is an outlier. I got lucky. And I would be doing the same things for when I hop in a little bit late. Because if my stop loss, for example, and I've done this many times, my perfect stop loss again might be 20. But I've hopped in at 25. I've hopped in a bit later. I don't go for a 1 to 2. I will aim for exactly where my perfect entry 1 to 2 still is. But I might be getting a 1 to 7. As in a 1 to 1.7%. Instead of a 1 to 2, 1 to 1.7. That's 0.30% less. Just to make that clear. You do need to put that in there. Otherwise, at the end of the year, you'll be looking at some of the weirdest results that you've ever seen. You're going, what's going on here? So make sure that your journaling is on point. A really good thing to do is trade with a set and forget approach. I have a secondary strategy that I consistently use with alerts. It revolves around some price action, but most of the trades that I hop into with this certain strategy, I'm hopping in at 2 a.m., 11:30 p.m. at night. I go to bed at 10 p.m. I go to bed at 10 p.m. I'm not awake at 2:30 a.m. as well. And this is for my crypto strategy as well, primarily. And what I'll be doing is, because it's on a longer term scale, it's on a longer term scale, I'll still use the 1 hour, which is fantastic. See, again, showing you that you don't just have to use the 4 hour, the weekly, the daily, whatever it is. I use the 1 hour, but I'm looking for longer term trades in the 1 hour. What does that mean? Well, I'm looking for setups to happen over a longer period of time. For example, what I need for this particular strategy, let's just say it's like a triple touch strategy, right? I'm looking for touch one to happen on Monday. And then I look for touch two to happen at least 24 hours later. And therefore, touch three has got to happen 24 hours later. There are many strategies out there where you can say time is a factor that separates them, or distance. For example, I know, same triple touch strategy, trying to find triple bottoms and triple tops. I need, from this first touch, from this specific area, for it to move down 100 pips. If it comes back up to the exact same area, fantastic. I need it to come back 100 pips again. And once I know that's happened, it doesn't matter for me what's going on now. I am then setting a sell limit or a buy limit, whatever it is, I'm setting it back at that level that I've been looking at the entire time. Fibonacci retracement guys do this all the time. Oh, okay, so you originally hit the 0.50%, you went down, and you hit it a second time and you went down. Okay, if you come up to the 0.50% again, I'm going to have a sell limit here. So set and forgets are awesome. Using your sell limits, using your buy limits means that you can use way more time frames and you can thrive. It does mean that once again, and guys, I cannot stress this enough, you either need to invest your own time into backtesting a strategy that is going to work. It's going to take you a heck of a lot of time to do that. Or you invest the money with someone that's already done this, aka me, aka other mentors out there that have their own podcasts, that have their own communities, their own reviews, etc. That's what you need to do. Now moving on, you can also invest in automation, like our last guest, Adrian, who's got some fantastic setups. And if you're interested in that, please go over there. I, on the other hand, do not use automation. And there's a really key reason for that. I think for every person that does have a really good tool, there are about 50 people that don't. And it doesn't mean that one person, just like my strategy, right? I say this about myself, one person's approach, they won't necessarily work. Now with automation, it's great because you can set up a system that you can just walk away from. But I don't think it's, there's just a few of us here that I think listen to this podcast because we want to get our hands dirty. We want to get into the market. We want to have profits. And I don't think there is any substitute in terms of profits, at least, where a person that actually gets involved in the markets, especially pure price action traders, I don't think you can beat them in terms of in profits. I think they're right up there. And even when I was working in a brokerage, for example, everyone, to at least a certain degree, was getting involved in the markets. And all my trading friends, including the hedge fund managers, none of us are automated. Now, that's probably because I'm not interested in automation, and I grant you that. But what you could do is just create a strategy and get buy and sell alerts from it. That's what I do. That's what my strategy involves. I literally do not have to look at the charts at any point during the day unless my strategy says, hey, Alex, there's a buy signal now, or there's a sell signal now. And from there, I can actually look at the charts and do that. So if you want to make your own strategy, fantastic. Then you can go to a programmer and say, hey, here are my rules. I've got a mechanical strategy, because of course you'd go mechanical. Can you make it into an indicator? Perfect. Then you get alerts. Again, you want to stay away from copy traders. I've talked about this quite a lot. You don't want to do it. You can set up automation, as I just suggested. And then there are, of course, alerts with your indicator. If you seriously actually want to trade, get your hands dirty. And of course, if you do that and you take that approach, you're going to get a whole lot of education that you can give to your friends, your family, etc. Of course, you can give automated processes out there, but it really depends on the person and what they want. So that's what I think about, automating a process. Those are the ways that I would go about it. If you guys do want to learn a little bit more, then of course you can always go to rotaforex.com where I have my own indicator up that you can use. Cool. Now moving on from there, although I've said that you can use more time frames, and I think that's fine, do understand that there should be a cap for you in terms of how many alerts that you can deal with. I don't think that you necessarily have to focus on fewer pairs or fewer time frames. It's not something that is realistically going to help you out, but do understand this amount of pairs or alerts stresses me out and this one doesn't. Again, you can combat this by getting up earlier or staying back at work for 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, to enter your trades. Because again, I can enter a trade in literally 30 seconds. It doesn't bother me at all. And if you slap a trade copier on the multiple accounts you have, it's super duper easy. But just make sure that you go, okay, this is what I'm cool with. This is what I'm okay with. Because if you are used to swing trading, which most of you are, if you're doing a 9-to-5 and you just amp yourself up and you get all these pairs and all these time frames, that is where you can start to make mistakes. Maybe you instantly start making more money. You get emotional. It's exciting. You make mistakes. Maybe you start losing a lot of money a lot quicker and you're not used to that. You get emotional. You start making mistakes. So make sure that you stick to a trading plan. Make sure you join a community where people can keep you in line. Make sure that you journal. All of these things can help you out. Anyway, guys, that is basically it from me. Some super amazing insights in there. I know balancing trading with a full-time job does require a bit of strategic planning, but you just need to have a disciplined mindset. That's it. Have a disciplined mindset. Listen to this again. Open yourself up. Use multiple time frames. Use multiple pairs. Use your backtesting journal and your journal. That's what you need to be doing. And if you have to, fully automate your system. That's okay. Remember, success in trading isn't about how much time you're spending in front of the charts. It is about how effectively you use that time. So what I would be suggesting is getting a strategy that works, having an indicator that tells you when to buy and sell, like mine, so you really never have to look at the charts, and then you avoid, I guess, the problem of automation, whereas things can go wrong. And that is all you have to do. Spend a little bit of time in the morning, spend a little bit of time after work, and hey presto, you're all good. And while you're at home and you've got that free time, you can hop on the charts if and when you need. Anyway, guys, until the next one, you have a great day, and I'll speak to you then. Bye.